Thank you, Dr. Crozier. Again, my name is Matthew Fryer. I just want to thank you all for coming. Today I'll be talking with you all about the validation of soil test-based phosphorus and potassium fertilizer recommendations in soybean. 30 to 50% of our current crop yield is attributable to fertilizer practices. The graph to your left shows how the University of Illinois Morrill plots have benefited from continuous N, P, and K fertilizer practices over a 46-year period. On the y-axis, we have corn yield. On the x-axis, we have year. And so the simple point I'd like to make here is that we have a pretty significant yield benefit from these fertilizer practices. And so we know soil testing is an important component in crop and soil nutrient management, especially for P and K. This graph shows a little bit of data on how the demand for soil testing has really increased over the past 5 to 10 years. On the y-axis, we have the number of soil samples submitted to our soil testing lab in Arkansas. And on the x-axis, we have a year from 2006 to 2011. The solid line represents the number of grid samples submitted for analysis. The broken line represents the number of field average samples submitted. And so the bottom line here is that the number of grid samples that have been submitted are rapidly increasing, where a field average soil sample is slowly declining. But this equates to about a 14,200 per year sample increase. And so one of the reasons for this is just a general acceptance of precision agriculture technologies, as well as increased nutrient management programs. And so one thing that really precision agriculture really brings out in the open is that precise nutrient management does not always mean accurate nutrient management. And so we know that soil testing is the best science that we have for fertilizer recommendations and nutrient management programs, but soil testing provides only an index of soil P and K availability, and if this availability index must be correlated with crop growth or yield to be of any value to us. The graph to the right shows percent relative rice yield correlated against Arkansas soil Malic 3 soil test on the x-axis. The R-squared value here is 0.63, showing us that that there's room for improvement. This doesn't account for all of the variability in our yield. And so, but this is pretty typical. When you look through the literature, these availability indices typically account about 25 to 60% of our crop yield response. And so this correlation calibration data has really been well researched, but the validation of the fertilizer recommendations that are recommended to our growers based off of this research has really been less studied. And so that really brings us to the point of our research is to assess the accuracy of our soil test-based phosphorus and potassium fertilizer recommendations for irrigated soybean in Arkansas. In our materials and methods, we had 18 sites, selected 6 Arkansas experiment stations. We took soil samples at the 0 to 10 centimeter depth for all of our sites. We took a depth of 0 to 30 centimeters for our clay soils and a 0 to 45 centimeters for our loamy sites. And so just for sake of time in this presentation, I'm only going to present on the 0 to 10 centimeter depth. And also something that should be stated is that we only have 16 sites in this presentation, as the other two sites weren't available when I put the presentation together. We have 6 treatments, 4 potassium rates ranging from 0 to 149 kilograms of K per hectare, combined with a recommended phosphorus rate based off of our soil test. We had a recommended potassium rate combined with an alternate P rate, and our treatment 6 was our untreated control that received no fertilizer. We had 2 P rates, 0 and 33 kilograms of P per hectare. We were interested in looking at grain yield with single degree of freedom contrast comparisons. So we were interested in looking at comparing our untreated control plots with phosphorus-only treatments, potassium-only treatments, as well as the treatments that receive both P and K. We evaluated these contrasts at 3 levels of significance, 0.05, 0.1, and 0.25. We hypothesized there would be 3 possible outcomes in our research. We could have a correct response where we accurately predicted crop yield response to fertilizer applications. We could have a false positive. This would be where a response was expected, but no response was measured. This is where our soil test concentrations were in the suboptimal level, and we would expect to see a yield increase to fertilizer application, but we did not. We could have a false negative. This is where no response is expected, but a response occurred. This is where our soil test level was in the optimal range, and we don't expect to see any yield increase to fertilizer applications, but we did it nonetheless. So just to break down our soil test level interpretations in Arkansas, we have soil test level in the first column, our expected yield response to fertilizer applications in the second column, and our soil test nutrient concentration range in the last two columns for P and then for K. And so something that should be mentioned here is our suboptimal soil test level really contains two levels, a very low and low soil test level. We group these together simply because for both of these levels, we expect to see a yield increase to fertilizer applications. Our medium soil test level is really a level of relative uncertainty. And so a no yield benefit to fertilizer applications or an increase in yield due to fertilizer would be considered a correct response for this presentation. And the optimal range, again, contains two soil test levels, optimum and above optimum. We grouped them together, again, because we expect to see no change in yield due to fertilizer. So moving into our results, I've got a few sites here I'd like to share just as an example. First column, we have site 1, 2, and 3. The second column, we have our check yield, the plots that received no fertilizer. And then on the last three columns, we have our p-value and the yield difference on the bottom in parentheses when comparing our phosphorus only to our untreated control, our potassium to our untreated control, and our treatments that had both P and K to our untreated control. The numbers in red indicate significant yield differences at one of the three levels at which we evaluated our data. And so there's a couple points I'd like to make here. Point number one, for both P and K, in these three sites, we expected to see a yield increase when applying these two nutrients. For the first site, as you can see, we had a positive yield increase to both P and K. But when we combine those two nutrients together and compare it to our untreated control, we don't always have an additive effect as you would think generally. So as you can see, when we apply potassium, we have a 448 kilogram per hectare increase. But when we apply both P and K, there's no added benefit to that. Point number two, like I said, we expect to see a yield increase for both nutrients. That's not always the case, as you can see in site 2 and 3, where we did not see a significant yield difference for phosphorus. So I've shared a few examples of our sites. Now looking at the bigger picture for potassium, we have graphed here our percent relative yield for potassium, which is calculated by our untreated control over our potassium-only treatments multiplied by 100. The shaded bar represents our medium soil test level. So on the left of this bar, we would expect to see yield responses. On the right, we would expect to see no yield response at all. Our symbols here represent, the black circles represent no significant response. The cross-haired circles represent response levels from the 0.1 to 0.25 level, and the open circles represent a significant response at less than 0.1. And so this linear plateau model really shows us where our critical concentration level should be, where the positive sloping line meets the horizontal line. That would really be our critical concentration. And as you can see, it's right in the medium soil test level where it should be. And for the most part, on the right, we have solid circles where we don't have a significant yield response. On the left of this bar, we have, for the most part, we have significant yield responses. So this is pretty encouraging for potassium. We feel like we have a pretty good database for potassium. When we're looking at phosphorus, again, the shaded bar represents our medium soil test level, which should encompass our critical concentration, where to the right of this concentration, we wouldn't expect to see a yield increase. To the left, we would expect to see one. And so, as you can see here, where our sloping line meets our horizontal line, it's not in our medium soil test level range. So this would lead us to believe that we should move our medium bar to the left to encompass these errors. So to summarize our results, for phosphorus, we have our soil test P level on the first column, the number of sites that we had at each level in the second column, and then our percent success rate at the 0.1 in the middle three columns, and then our percent success rate at the 0.25 level in the last three columns. So one thing I'd like to point out here is that we are 75% accurate in predicting the correct yield response to fertilizer applications for phosphorus, and that all of our error occurs in the false positive error, where we expect to see a yield increase when our soil test is below optimal, but we do not. And so, but regardless of the significance level at which we evaluate our data, our results are the same. For potassium, again, the 0.1, we are 78% accurate in predicting crop yield response. All of our error here is, again, at the suboptimal soil test level in the false positive, where we expect to see a yield increase but do not. When we evaluate this at a more liberal 0.25, our type of error is really allocated to our false negative to the optimal soil test level, where we do not expect to see a yield increase but do. In conclusion, most of our errors are false positive error sites where we, with suboptimal soil test levels, where we do not, where our crop yield does not respond to fertilizer. For phosphorus, our results are not affected by the level of significance at which we evaluate our data, and no false negative errors occurred. For potassium, our results are affected by the level of significance. We had one false negative error occur at the 0.1, 0.25 significance level. In practical applications, we would want to move our soil test phosphorus medium level to the left, lower these concentrations to better interpret our crop yield response and encompass these errors. For potassium, we're greater than 75% accurate, so we're pretty excited about this point. I'd like to acknowledge the Arkansas Soybean Checkoff Program, University of Arkansas Division of Agriculture, my co-authors, Dr. Slayton, Dr. Roberts, Dr. Norman, and Mr. DeLong, research staff, and my fellow grad students for their help. Thank you.
We do have time for questions, so any questions for our speaker?
I've got one. You have a slide where you mentioned the response to a single nutrient, both the single nutrients and the two supplied together, and you mentioned something about the soil test for the site. So if the soil test was low on both, would you expect to see
Well, the question was, would we expect to see a yield response when our soil test levels are low? Would we expect to see an additive? Really what I was trying to say there in that slide is those particular sites for both P and K, our soil test level was in the suboptimal range, and we expected to see a yield increase. But the main point I was pointing out is that we don't always see an additive effect when we combine both P and K together. And so we may see a 488 kilogram per hectare increase for potassium, but when we apply phosphorus, there's no more increase from when we just applied potassium.